Everybody, it is Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and that means it's time for The Mindset, where we do our very best to show you that your mindset can be your very best ally instead of your own personal enemy. But I can't do this show without my own good friend. Her name is Claudia Israel. Hi, Claudia. How are you this evening?
I'm well, Shane. How are you?
I am doing really well. Thank you. I appreciate it. So we talked about the idea of emotional mind and logical mind. So the best way to go about it is to talk about the wise mind. So why don't you go ahead and talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, wise mind was coined by Marsha Linehan,
okay,
who is a psychologist who is out in Seattle. And she basically came up with a therapy model called dialectical behavior training. And one of the core concepts that she talks about is something called wise mind. She basically took from Zen Buddhism and cognitive behavior therapy, and she put them together to create this modality of treatment to help people initially who were diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. But over time, it's proven to be a very effective strategy to help everybody become more effective in their lives. So, for instance, I use it to basically treat anybody who comes in my office who has any concerns around managing their emotions, managing stress, having communication difficulties, and problems kind of staying in the moment. So one of the core concepts is something called wise mind, where the idea is that we have an emotional mind and we have a rational mind. And some of us live in one sphere more than the other. So, for instance, a lot of times people who are very science-minded are considered to be in the rational mind. They don't get very emotional, sometimes are even considered maybe even stoic, and tend to be maybe not as passionate in some ways. Whereas people in emotion mind tend to be very much in their emotional states, can be very impulsive, can be living a very kind of chaotic life because they're very reactive. So you've got actually another way of putting it. You've got this reactive person and then this other person on the other side who can be very much focused and on their planning all the time and can't be spontaneous. So the idea here is that if those two circles intersect, that intersection part is called wise mind, which is basically saying you accept emotion mind, you accept rational mind, and you're trying not to live in the extreme of either one, taking both into account and kind of practicing the middle way. And that's kind of one of the things we've been talking about in this whole series that we've been doing. You know, walking the beauty way was walking the middle way. So what we're looking at is not living in extremes, not being completely emotional or completely rational, that we need to live in the middle. Kind of that gray area, you know, getting away from that black and white thinking concept. So that's kind of what wise mind is about.
Boy, I got to tell you, this subject is one that really kind of took me off guard. And I got to tell you why, because the majority of my life, and when I say the majority, I am currently 45 years old. So I'll say probably 40 years. I lived very emotionally, ones to where I basically lived an action-reaction type of life. because it was one of those things as to where if somebody felt a certain way about me, I automatically would verify that with the way that I would feel as well as the way that I would act. And so I was definitely working on the emotional side. Now, that's not to say that I can't have a logical side as well, but we're really talking about like tipping the scale, right? We're not talking about extreme to extreme. It doesn't have to be that way. But the majority of time, you would find me on the emotional side because it would be an action-reaction type of lifestyle.
Correct. So the idea is that we try to find a balance between kind of using a rational perspective while not disregarding our emotions. Because I think oftentimes that's kind of what happens, is we recognize that our emotions are maybe getting us into trouble because of how we're reacting to them.
Right.
So we want to block that off and then kind of go the other way. And that is not really effective or helpful, because then you kind of live a life that doesn't include maybe some of the passion that we experience when we have emotions. I mean, let's face it, emotions are cool. Certainly we'd rather have the emotions of joy and love. However, even anger and grief have a certain energy and power to it that we don't want to like neglect. So wise mind is really kind of like taking all the variables into account, hitting that pause button that we've talked about so many times, so that we can kind of think, wow, am I in emotion mind? Am I in rational mind? Am I taking all the variables into account? And to be able to really honor both sides.
And that's the thing, is that when I had first learned of the wise mind, I really went back and forth, because as emotional as I can be, I'm also very analytical. So it's almost as if like I was literally skipping the middle. It was like I was jumping over the wise part. I would go from one side to the other in order to be able to verify or validate what it is that I was feeling on the inside. Is that something that's uncommon, or is that something that a lot of people do?
Oh, it's very common. I think we all do it to some degree. When you think about it, Shane, we're talking about dialectical behavior training in some ways today.
Right.
And one of the main things about being in therapy that I think a lot of people don't recognize is that once you're in therapy and you start to analyze how you react to life, how you are in life, look at kind of your past, your core beliefs, and all of the aspects of yourself, you're actually self-actualizing to a higher level than most people who are not engaged in therapy, who we might consider to be quote-unquote normal.
Mm-hmm.
People who aren't maybe having a level of distress in their lives that's bringing them into somebody's office like mine to do some work. Unfortunately, I think everybody could benefit from learning about this.
Yes.
Because what we're learning and people who come to therapy are learning is choice. You have choice. So if you want to react from emotion mind, you have that choice. If you want the consequences and they're okay with you, that's okay. There's no right or wrong. However, I think most people who come into therapy are not getting the outcomes in their lives that they want. So that's why they come, because let's face it, coming into my office doesn't mean, hey, happy, happy, joy, joy.
Right.
It means I'm here to do some work.
Yeah.
And I think that when we talk about the general population, everyone can benefit from learning some of these tools, because it would make us all effective communicators. There are some people I would love to have come in my office who are very much in the forefront of our media today, and I won't mention names, but there are certainly some people I would love to teach some wise mind principles to, and they shall remain unnamed. However, we all know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's just really important to be able to, I think, balance how you see life. Mm-hmm. When you can come to that point where you can balance how you see everything, everything becomes very clear. Because then you're able to look at both sides and go, huh, this makes sense, this feels good, how do I kind of bring the two together and have them not be mutually exclusive? People who tend to be more an emotion mind end up in my office a lot because they're reacting, and reacting and reacting and reacting are impulsive. And that gets you in trouble, even though most people don't mean to. It's just you're so caught up in the emotion. And emotions, like we've talked about, have energy. And energy can't be destroyed. So if you're not using that energy in a healthy way, it can go to an unhealthy place and get us in trouble. People who don't tend to end up in my office are people who are coming from rational mind because they never really let themselves go to that place where they're experiencing their emotions. So they're kind of shut down. And I mean, that's okay. It's just, you know, that's the person who I might meet in other ways who basically can't identify passion and can't identify maybe life dreams and goals and are very much like, well, statistically, this job is going to bring me the most ability to support my family financially so I can X, Y, and Z.
Right.
But that's the person who really wishes oftentimes that they had that fire in the belly is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to have your emotion mind and your rational mind at the same time interacting in that middle place, it's awesome because you get the best of both without either extreme kind of taking over your life.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I looked at it, I definitely do things in a way that was beneficial for me is that I worked hard and I played hard because I was able to be in that center to where, okay, I have to work. I understand that part, but I also need some play so as to be able to balance out my life. The problem is that I also deal with a condition that's called borderline personality disorder. Claudia, I mentioned before that DBT was actually developed because of borderline personality disorder. To give a short synopsis here from a layman's terms, borderline personality disorder is basically taking the emotion that you have right now and overemphasizing it past what would be the average or quote unquote average. So if I'm sitting there and if I feel upset, I feel very upset. If I feel depressed, I'm extremely depressed. If I feel as if like I'm angry, develops paranoia and so forth, it really is instead of, you know, a 2, 3, maybe even 4, it's more 7, 8, 9, 10 for me. Now, here's the thing. DBT, or what we're talking about this evening with the wise mind, it certainly helped me when I was aware that there was two mindsets that I was working with. And like I said to Claudia earlier this evening, it seemed as if like I literally would jump over what was healthy for me. I literally jumped over what was wise mind because that was just the way that I knew how to do things. But when I had learned of this skill, and it is a skill, when I learned of it, I came to realize, okay, if I feel too much emotion, that's obviously going to be too much. So I need to peel it back a little bit. But I don't need to shut it down completely, like Claudia had mentioned. It's important to feel our emotions. It's important to know what it is that's going on within our body and our mind. But at the same time, you don't want to make it to the point as to where it's making you socially detrimental to yourself. Does that make sense, Claudia?
It certainly does. And, you know, for our listeners who aren't familiar with the idea of a personality disorder, I just want to educate for a moment that personality disorder is not something that is genetic or biologically based like a depression mm-hmm. or bipolar disorder. Personality disorder is actually almost a developmental disorder. It comes from how we're raised by whoever the caregivers were in our lives. So it's something that we kind of learned in order to get our needs met. So I've worked with a lot of individuals, and one of the things that might have happened is they really needed to go to extremes to get their needs met. Mm-hmm.
these individuals needed to do that to survive. And now interacting with mainstream society as adults, where a lot of people haven't had that same experience, that's where the problem comes in. Because somebody who didn't have to go to extremes to have their needs met because they were brought up in quote unquote, I don't believe in the word normal, but just for the sake of saying something quickly and not getting into a philosophical debate, normal upbringing, are going to react to individuals who needed to go to extremes very negatively. So those negative reactions creates even more disparity with that individual to the point where, you know, they really don't feel effective in their life. In borderline personality disorder, what we're talking about is somebody who does have extreme reactions, whether it's depression, rage, or kind of frantic actions, especially if, you know, there are feelings of abandonment. You know, there's generally a pattern of intense and stormy kind of relationships with family or friends, loved ones. Also kind of like an unstable self-image or sense of self, because that can result from how people are reacting to you and how you were brought up. Oftentimes there are impulsive behaviors, sometimes even dangerous ones. So a lot of times people with a personality disorder also have addiction issues and kind of go into kind of somewhat reckless behaviors. Oftentimes suicide thoughts are involved. And borderline personality disorder, certainly, you know, like feelings of emptiness and just having kind of stress-related paranoid thoughts are definitely part of borderline personality disorder. So if someone in our listening audience can relate to any of the symptoms that I just described, it would really be in your best interest to find a therapist to work with to kind of help you look at DBT and look at a way to kind of give you all the skills. I mean, certainly on this show, we're going to be talking about DBT a lot of different times.
Right. In a lot of different ways.
In a lot of different ways. So definitely for anybody who can relate to any of those symptoms, this kind of gives you kind of like a framework of what Shane is talking about when he talks about having borderline personality disorder. And Marsha Linehan, who came up with DBT, actually came out a couple of years ago in the New York Times as having it herself.
Yeah.
One of the reasons she came up with this model of treatment because she was trying to help herself and found this to be so effective. So hats off to Marsha, you know, really grateful to her for that. Basically because when I went to graduate school back in the late 80s, one of the things that really came across from my teachers was, if you're dealing with somebody who has borderline personality disorder, their prognosis was poor, and there really wasn't anything we could do to help them. Wow. Here I'm going to school to help people, and I'm being told, oh, by the way, this subset of individuals, yeah, there's no hope for them.
Right.
Really? You know, that blew my mind. So you did feel hopeless and kind of helpless when somebody came into treatment and you were basically educated in graduate school that these individuals had no hope. And then Marsha Linehan came out and was like, hey, wait a minute. No, there is. And by the way, even though I learned that in graduate school, I never did give up hope, despite a lot of my colleagues teasing me about it all the time. I kind of felt like that can't be possible. You can help anybody, no matter what. But anyway, Marsha gave us this great framework called DBT.
Yeah. And the wise mind is a very big portion of it in so many different ways throughout the whole program. Throughout the whole process of DBT, wise mind is emphasized there throughout. It, now, of course, there's this particular skill of which we're talking about. And what you want to do is, and what we'll do is we'll put this on our Speaking of the Heart Facebook page, as well as our group. What you want to picture is two circles intersecting one another. And while they intersect, what happens is that you'll find the middle of where they cross each other. And what happens is that's the wise mind. That's the middle. In other words, that's your safety zone right there. That's where you want to be. Now, that's not altogether easy, whether or not that you have a disorder or not. But when you're sitting there and you're dealing with a disorder, such as bipolar, such as schizophrenic, such as any number of different things that are out there, it's a totally different deal because you're really overemphasizing everything that's going on. But the thing is that we're not just making this show just for those who have bipolar or who have borderline personality disorder or any other type of situation there. This show can benefit anybody. This particular show, Wise Mind, can benefit anyone in any culture, in any time zone, any color. It doesn't matter. It can be helpful because once you become aware of it, then you become an effective communicator. And that is something that is priceless, especially...
Hey everyone, this is Shane Schultz of Arisen Strength, the Motivational Podcast. Join my good friends Rebecca and Joe Lombardo as they provide a healing platform through awareness and a voice for change. That's the Voices for Change on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. This week's episode, they're going to talk to a good friend of theirs and mine. His name is Randall Lee of Don't Let the Music Stop. This is a show you're not going to want to miss, so be here at 11 a.m. Eastern Time right here on the Speaking of the Heart Radio Network.
Nowadays in today's society, because it's something that doesn't happen anymore. People do not effectively communicate anymore. They are sitting there and they're almost antisocial in some ways, you know, as to where you're sitting there, nobody calls anymore, much less go to somebody's house to go talk to somebody. Why? Because there's a certain thing called a cell phone of which you can then text. Or you can send an instant message, or you can do, you know, any number, I don't know, smoke signal, whatever you want to call, anything other than actual having person-to-person contact with somebody. There's a whole lot of aspects to this that Wise Mind can sit there and help us be effectively communicative, either through what it is that is our social media or person-to-person. And what we're trying to do is that we're trying to create a balance in life so as to be able to realize when is it going to be beneficial for you to be in social media and when is it more beneficial for you to be person to person? Because that's something that a whole lot of people in this world could benefit in knowing. And having that balance is so, so important. And that's why this particular skill set that is taught through DBT, which is dialectical behavior therapy, is something that is not just meant for those who are feeling challenged by whatever disorder that you can think of. And Claudia, you know that yourself because I'm sure that you can think of a number of people who aren't diagnosed with a disorder, but they certainly can use the idea of being more of an effective communicator through having this skill set for themselves.
Basically, I honestly believe this needs to be taught in high school.
Yes.
Because at that point in most people's lives, I know in my life, I was experimenting with a lot of different hats. Who am I? Am I an artist? Am I an engineer? Am I this? Am I that? So in high school, you're trying on all these different personas and there's all these emotions and, you know, you're being taught all these different things and, you know, there's so much, I guess stimulation would be one way to put it. That, I mean, think about high school. Think about all the feelings you had. Think about how much chaos there has been. If you taught these skills in high school, you would equip individuals to go out into the world with a toolbox that's really, really effective. You might not have some of the chaos or some of the consequences that you end up having when you don't have those skills because right. of how you were raised or yeah, basically how you were raised. Mm-hmm. So you have somebody else in there giving you a healthy message if you grew up in a dysfunctional family. Personally, I think individuals with borderline personality disorder are really, really strong individuals because they had to survive in an environment that was very much not supportive. Mm-hmm. So to overcome that, get through the other side, and basically come out into society and do the best they can. I just admire that greatly. I have a lot of respect for individuals who survived whatever dysfunction they survived in. So yes, I believe it should be taught in high school and I believe that every individual can benefit from learning dialectical behavior training because what ends up happening is you're able to really take a step back. So when I was first introduced to doing this type of therapy 16 years ago, my boss at that time handed me Marcia's book and said, I want you to do this. And I was like, no way. She was like, I want you to learn this. And I was like, no way. And finally she was like, well, you have to, so just do it. And I basically started to teach myself by reading the book and using the workbook. And I remember the first group I did, I had 3 people in it. And they were hardcore. They stuck with it. And all of us kind of learned together how to do DBT. To the point where now, 16 years later, it's like the hot topic. And I'm like, wow, this is really old news. Because not only did I learn how to do it, you know, 16 years ago, you can't just teach it and not live it. So once I learned about all the skills, I started putting them into practice in my own life. And not that I was necessarily ineffective in my life. However, once I started practicing these skills, oh my goodness, my life, it was just incredible how much more effective I became.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, DBT is just kind of part of who I am today. And one of the examples I can use to help people kind of understand like the wise mind idea is I often get emails that are challenging from coworkers or other agencies where I get kind of upset. Mm-hmm. And I react because it's unfair or because I don't agree with what was in the email. And usually my first response is to fire back this email of like, how dare you? Not really, but you know what I mean. Kind of reactive.
Right.
And initially I would send them and then I would have to deal with an individual who would then get upset at my reactionary email. And then I'd have to deal with my supervisor who'd be like, Claudia, that wasn't necessarily totally professional. And then I would have to apologize. So one of the hallmarks of needing to learn wise mind is if you find that you're apologizing a lot to people, yeah, wise mind is a skill you want to learn. So, you know, because if you're always apologizing, the message that you're giving your brain is, wow, I'm really kind of a screw up because I have to keep apologizing to everybody. So then you feel less effective, less competent. It impacts your self-esteem. And it becomes kind of a downward spiral. So let's engage wise mind. So I have my reaction. You're allowed to have your initial reaction. So my initial reaction is email. I type it. I go for it. The energy goes out. And then I hit minimize. And I leave it on my desktop for a couple hours. And I look at it again. And I change it a little bit. And I minimize it again. And then a couple hours later, or even the next day, I look at it again. Sometimes I end up never sending the email. But I've had my reaction. I've been able to discharge the energy around the emotion behind it. And then I'm able to go, okay, I still need to say to the individual how the emotional response was. But then I use my rational mind to say it effectively in a professional, courteous manner, and I get amazing results that way. Absolutely amazing.
Hmm.
So that's just a small example, but I mean, if you apply that to like bigger life issues, if you're able to hit that pause button and just say, okay, wait a minute, I'm allowed to have the reaction, the emotion is real, it's valid. Life is unfair, I'm angry, this is upsetting. Absolutely. But you don't have to react to it in the moment. You can have your response and not act.
Hmm.
You can feel the emotion and not act. That's when you engage the rational mind that basically is saying, okay, don't react. Let's think about it for a minute. That's where wise mind happens. Because dialectical, the definition of it is two opposites can be in the same space at the same time. And it's okay.
Well, it's relativity, right?
Yeah.
As your philosophers would tell you, it's all relative. And the thing is that what you'd want to look at, another way of looking at this is that we've all played tug of war once or twice in our life. And most of the time, the idea of tug of war is to take your flag and to pull it all the way onto your side. All the time. You know, because you're doing everything that you can in order to make sure that that flag goes from the middle to your side, period. That's it. You are doing all your effort to do so. You're making all your thoughts, all your feelings, all your actions are to bring it to your side. Or you can do with the wise mind, and you can do all your efforts, all your thoughts, and all your actions to make sure that the flag stays in the middle. Because that is what we're trying to do. Now, of course, anybody who's sitting there and is strictly in the middle, I can only think of a few in the world that come to my mind that have done that on an everyday basis, you know, and as best as they possibly can. But the thing is what we're trying to say is when you find yourself going to the emotional side, that's fine. But when you go a little bit over, bring it a little bit back. Take a little bit of a pause. The show, the pause button, definitely co-enacts with this particular show, The Wise Mind. Because sometimes, like Claudia mentioned, you need to hit the pause button before you react. That gives time for your action to kind of dissipate to what is going to be effective communication for you. And that's something that I have a very difficult time with because I feel what it is that I feel. And we talk about this all the time, especially on different shows like Arisen Strength that I do. When we sit there and we feel a certain way, well, we want to validate that feeling. We want to verify that feeling that's on the inside. So we want to validate it through our actions. Now, that could be good or it may not be so good because there are times as to where, hey, we don't feel well, right? There's a lot of people out there that are dealing with whatever type of situation that they're going through, whether it be medically or mentally, as to where they don't feel the best. So where you're sitting there and you're validating what it is that you don't feel the best with, well, you're going to actually have it be detrimental to you. Because what's going to happen is that your emotions are going to be at an 8, 9, 10 level. What you want to do is you want to take that pause and then have it come down to a 6, 5, 4 to be able to make an effective communication based off of what it is that you're feeling. Now, you're still getting your thoughts out. You're still getting your validation. But you're taking your time to be effective with the wise mind so as to ensure that you're not going to go overboard to where it may not be effective communication at all. And that's something that a lot of us do. There's a whole lot of people out there, again, I'll mention social media. There's a lot of people that are out there that are sitting out there. They send an instant message or they send an email or whatever. And we've said it before, people say, well, the tone of the email was a little bit too much or the instant message. There's a lot of ways to perceive things when it comes to what's being typed. It used to be, I'm dating myself, but used to write letters. you actually have a style of writing and so forth as to where you could actually, you know, kind of see how somebody is writing and so forth in order to be able to see what it is that's going on. When it's typing, everybody's is the same for the most part. So there's going to be a certain way that it's going to make somebody perceive what it is that they're saying because they have to validate what it is that they're feeling. How do we develop the wise mind? There's got to be some sort of exercise or something that we can give them, like a process that we can help them to be able to find their wise mind as opposed to staying in the emotional and the logical.
The first thing that I think will help anybody is getting in tune with your body. Our emotions happen in our body first. So one of the things that DBT talks about is creating a body mold. You know, basically take like a gingerbread man kind of cookie cutter kind of image. Put it down on a piece of paper. Commit to doing this for our listeners. And then anytime you have an emotion, zero in and focus in on where is it in my body. Really think about it. Really, you know, zero in. And you'll be amazed at where your emotions are. For instance, I can share this. Shame, for me, is in my ears. My ears get red hot and actually turn red when I feel shame. So anybody who sees me with red ears, look away. I'm feeling ashamed. So, you know, I know that about myself. So when my ears start to do that, it's a prompt for me to look around and be like, wow, what am I feeling shame about? Is it a reaction? Is it a situation? Is it a memory? What is it? If we can be in touch with our body signals, because, you know, in DBT, there's actually a whole handout of how your body processes emotion. So the first thing is there's an event, your body has the emotion, those electrical signals go up to the brain then goes through the catalog and goes, oh, that is shame. And then it says that out loud, and then your brain interprets that and is like, okay, is shame okay to feel? Is it not okay to feel? If it's okay, you just feel shame. If it's not okay, then you might go to anger or some other emotion. So all this stuff is going on. So if we can get in touch with our body, it's kind of like getting ahead of the game. Then you can be like, okay, whoa, okay, I'm about to have this emotion. It's powerful. It's something that's unpleasant. I don't want to have it. And then you can hit that pause button and be like, okay, I'm feeling a tingle in my ears, or, you know, there's this thing happening in my belly. Okay, let me hit the pause button and just recognize I'm about to have an emotion. I'm about to interpret it. I'm about to, you know, experience it. Let me hit the pause button on reacting. Let me just have it. Let me just have the emotion. It's not going to kill you. Have whatever emotion is coming up. And then just hang on for a sec. It's okay. Just hang on. That's the pause button. And that's when you can be like, okay, I'm going to minimize that email. Or, yeah, I really want to yell at this person because they just really pissed me off. Let me not do that. Let me think about that. Because you know what? You can still yell at that person in 5 minutes, in right. A half hour. Tomorrow, you can still yell at that person. If it truly is the response you want to give and feel effective, it's okay. No judgment. You want to yell, go ahead and yell. But at least give yourself the pause button. Really think about it for a minute. Have the emotion, experience the desire and the anger and everything else to want to yell. And then just give it some time and space. And if it still seems like the logical or the most effective way that you want to represent yourself, go for it. No big deal. I've done it. I've hit the pause button and then still yelled at somebody. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly what I needed to do.
Well, I know that there's a lot of things that are going on in our society that a lot of people need to hear this show and need to adhere to the skill set of the wise mind. There's a lot of things that are going on that don't seem to be fair. And when we get into fair and unfair, well, that's when our emotions start to get charged up a whole lot. I'll give you an example. I, just like everyone else on social media, see a whole lot of different videos that are out there as to where, you know, people are getting shot for whatever reason, whether it be something that people think that are justified or not, because they are doing something illegal or they may not be. You know, there's a whole lot of different things that are going on, especially lately, as to where law enforcement's involved, different races are involved, you know, a whole lot of different things that are out there. So here it is. I personally was developing an opinion. I was getting the opinion as to where, you know what? Here's the bottom line. If it looks wrong, it is wrong. And so when I started seeing people, you know, ending up being shot or killed for reasons that I could not put together, then I would automatically say, hey, that's not right. That's just not right. It's the wrong way to go about it. And so I would have an opinion. I would be very judgmental. What would happen is that I would come to the conclusion that I'm right in what it is that I'm saying. Well, it turned out that I was doing another podcast, and I was talking to somebody who actually has law enforcement experience and who deals with law enforcement officers when it comes to PTSD. And what I came to realize is that I didn't know everything and that I didn't have all the information that would be needed in order to be able to make that decision in my head more effectively. And what I learned was that through this gentleman, who is a high-ranking official in his particular police precinct and such, and he, like I said, he was dealing with police officers, first responders, when it came to PTSD. And as I was talking to him, I said, there's a whole lot of things that are going on that I just don't understand. I don't know why this is happening, but the only thing that I can come up with is fear, that there's a whole lot of fear in this society, and it's gotten to the point to where it's downright dangerous. And so the gentleman definitely agreed with me that it is fear-based. He agreed with me wholeheartedly on that. But he also gave me some more information, such as when we see something, when we see a video as to where somebody might be having their life taken away from them, on a video, that's one instance. That's one video. The thing is that the police officer probably has anywhere between 8 to 12 calls a day that they go to. So you have no idea what it is that that particular officer was going through during those other 8 or 10 calls that were outside of that one video. You know, a lot of different things, because, like, especially when it came to being PTSD related, I have to tell you, I really was kind of eating my own words, because I know a lot about PTSD because I deal with PTSD. When he started telling me this, I kind of had to look back and had to say, you know what? It's like, all right, I don't know the whole deal. I need to be able to put the whole deal together before I make an effective decision on my own mind. That's wise mind. Wise mind is getting it all and then being able to make an effective decision for yourself. Emotional mind is what I was doing, because what I was seeing in my eyes and what it is that I was feeling on the inside was 1,000% right in my eyes and in my mind. It was 1,000% right. And so I was sitting there acting upon my emotions, acting upon what it is that I had my feelings about. Now, the logical part of it is, well, let's look at this. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at what this police officer went through throughout the day. Let's look at the history of what this police officer has been through. Let's look at the history of this particular person whose life was taken and in what it is that he was doing at the time, what it is that he's done in the past and everything like that. There's a whole list of things that I logically could have looked at and been paralyzed from making a decision for myself. There's a lot of people out there right now that are going through some very, very tough times in this society that can use the wise mind, that can use the time to look upon all of the information, take a pause, and then effectively communicate what they're trying to get done. And it doesn't just have to be that. How about those who are dealing with different illnesses, different conditions, whether they be medically or mentally? You know, when you're sitting there and you're getting the answers from your doctor that you are not expecting to hear because you're expecting a totally different answer, I'll give you an example, Lyme disease. For those who deal with Lyme disease, they are getting answers that they're not expecting at all. I mean, they're literally being told that what it is that they believe they have, they can't have because it's not scientifically proven that it's possible. But half of the doctors will tell you that it is possible and that it is true of what it is that they have. But it, no matter what the case scenario is, they're not getting the answers that they're looking for. So it's very simple to be very emotional on that. And to the point as to where it's going to get to the, it's going to get dangerous. It's going to get, it's getting scary because people are sitting there and they're reacting on the emotions that they have from the inside. But here's the thing. Wise mind is being effectively communicating to your doctor as well, to your therapist, to your parents, to your brothers, sisters, to your coworkers. It doesn't necessarily have to be in regards to mental health only. It can be utilized in all aspects of our lives in this society. And that's something that, that Claudia has been wanting to do with the show, is to be able to bring this out to more than just those that society might have an assessment that this show is needed for. Because this show is needed by everybody because of the different things that we talk about can be utilized by anyone from anywhere.
Yes, definitely. It's a, I guess, skill for living. Mm-hmm. Whether you have illnesses or issues or not, this is an effective way to live your life. And wise mind is one of the core principles of it. But there are so many others. And if we can just find the pause button, acknowledge our emotion, be okay with the emotion, and still wait to react on the emotion, which again, there's a window of opportunity to react to any situation. Unless the baby's on fire, you have a window of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it can be an hour, it can even be a day. If you're in the midst of an argument with a loved one and you're finding yourself reacting the same way you always react, and then you know you're going to get the same thing you always get, hit the pause button. Tell your loved one, you know, I need to walk away because I don't want to react the same way I always do. I want to have a moment and I want to be better at reacting. And tell that person, I need an hour. I'll get back to you tomorrow. It's okay. We are such an immediate, reactive culture, we kind of feel like we always have to give an answer right away.
Right.
You don't. Again, you don't have to react right away. You don't have to respond right away. You can take a minute, think about it, hit the pause button, appreciate your emotion state. Your emotion is valid. If somebody has said something and you get pissed off, hey, it's valid. But then, hit the pause button and think about, why am I pissed off? Is it really about what that person said? Or is it about what that person reminds me of? Is it about the fact that I'm having a really bad day and this person just poked me the last, to my last possible nerve? You know, do they deserve the reaction I want to give them right now? And once you can kind of take that step back, not only will you become more aware of your own self, again, you'll be more effective in the outcomes you create in your life.
And in some cases, you don't have to respond at all, do you?
No, you don't.
I mean,
there
sometimes...
plenty of times I don't.
Yeah, sometimes that's the wise mind, folks.
That sure is.
That's the wise mind. You don't have to react. You don't have to, you don't even have to respond. You know what I mean?
One of my favorite, Pema Chodron, I know I've brought her up before, and I'm going to bring her up a lot because she is just this amazing human being. And she wrote this great book. You guys should all go out and get it. I highly recommend it. But she wrote this great book called Don't Bite the Hook. And it's kind of about this. Because what she says in the book is basically, we have this habitual response to people. People who are around us, you know, we talk about they hit my buttons. Well, guess what? Those people installed the buttons, so they know exactly what to hit. So when you find yourself having that same response to the same individual, and you know the outcome is going to be you're not going to talk to them for the next 3 months, and then there's going to be this big apology scene and all this other stuff. When you find yourself about to give that same response, that's your cue to be like, hey, I need to do something different. And actually, I was listening to one of her teachings yesterday, and one of the audience members said, well, if I find myself giving the same response, but I don't know what another response would be, what would another response be? And Pema was like, I don't know. She's like, and you know, another response might be a total disaster, but at least it's another response.
But another response can also be no response.
Could be no response, or it could be this great thing that could be fabulous. Right. You know, like I worked with a couple for a while in couples counseling, and they had terrible fights, and they would both end up feeling really, really awful. And I work with them quite extensively about figuring out how to interrupt the fight, because they would both get so heated up, and then they both would do and say things they totally regretted. And it was clear they really loved each other, but they just didn't fight well. So they came to their last session with me. I didn't know it was going to be their last one, but they came to their last one with me, and they were like, we figured it out. And I was like, oh, cool. What did you figure out? And they're like, well, we were back in that same heated argument phase, and we're both going to go for it. And then the wife was like, and I was just, you know, the room was hot and I was starting to sweat, and I just ripped my shirt off. And then he took his shirt off. And then suddenly we were both naked. And then we were both laughing. And then we realized the argument was really silly. Hmm. And I was like, how fabulous. They just figured out a way to diffuse all the emotional energy. They hit the pause button in a very creative way. And, you know, it created laughter, humor, and then I'm sure other things. And it was just really fabulous because they discovered another way to react to each other in an argument. And they never came back after that. They were like, we figured it out. We know what to do now. We know we just need to get silly. And if it means taking our clothes off, or if it means making funny faces at each other, like, they figured it out. And they didn't have that same habitual response to each other, which created resentment and anger and sadness and hurt. It was all fine after that. I still get postcards from them, actually, from time to time. It's really kind of cool.
Hmm. Well, it's funny because I was watching something on TV. I think it was Oprah Winfrey's network. And she was interviewing Tony Robbins and his wife, Sage. Anybody who knows anything about infomercials or about self-help or anything in that sense knows about Tony Robbins. I read Tony Robbins' book when I was 16 years old, I think. And so he's very dynamic. He does a whole lot of different conferences. He goes to all around the world to do self-help conferences, and thousands and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people at a time. And one of the things that they were talking about is that Tony would do a conference, and then he would come home and he would be totally wiped out. I mean, totally wiped out. If you've ever been to one of his conferences, you can understand why, because he uses an abundance of energy throughout the whole conference. And what the deal was is that Sage was becoming to the point as to where she was resentful when he would go away on a conference, because she knows that it's going to take so much out of him, because he's getting older, and so he's having more ailments than what it is that he did when he was younger, when he was in his 20s, 30s, or even 40s. So the thing is that she was getting very resentful about it, and they were having fights when he was leaving to go to a conference. Not because he was doing anything wrong, but because she didn't know how to communicate to him that she felt sorry and that she wanted to help him, to nurture him back to health after he would do one of these conferences. Well, what happened was is that one day he came back from the conference and she was ready to absolutely lambaste him because he was totally wiped out, and like he always is. And I know how it feels when you do it, when you do a speech, you put everything into it. It seems as if like every minute that you put into it for preparation is also part of what it is that it takes you to recover from. And so he came back home And she was just about ready to lay into him, and she realized that she was going overboard, that she realized that she was having that flag, like I was saying. She was insisting on pulling it to her side. So when she realized this, she knew, and she definitely used the wise mind to ease in and say, what can I do to help you? And that was all that was said. What can I do to be helpful? And because she could have said, I don't know why you do this. I don't know why you go on this conference, or I don't know why you do 2 weeks at a time. I don't know why you go to 3 different conferences on each trip, or whatever the case may be. She could have totally gone off and have it be unbelievably detrimental to the relationship, to Tony's mindset, and also to her mindset. But because she utilized the wise mind and she said, what can I do to help you now? It made it so that they were doing it together and they were enjoying the process, to the point as to where she enjoyed when he come home, because then she would be able to nurture him and they would enjoy each other's time while he is recovering from one of the conferences that he would go to. So she found a way to actually enjoy what it is that she used to fear so much. And you don't do that through an emotional mind. You do that through the wise mind. And that's something that a lot of people can learn from, because very, very common thing. I know this is going to be a big surprise to everybody. We don't always say what it is that we mean. We don't always say what it is that we're thinking. Because for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen that way. So when we're sitting there and we're scared, in fact, we're going to do a show about this. It's called Primary Emotion, Secondary Emotion. When we're sitting there and you have a way of feeling on the inside, and then you sit there and then you spout off something that's totally opposite of what it is that you're thinking or feeling, it only makes it detrimental to the relationship. So what happens is that, like Claudia mentioned, you need to get in touch with your body. You need to get in touch with your mind. You need to get in touch with you. This is where you put the emphasis on you, so that you can be more beneficial, not only to yourself, but also to others. Because wise mind is infectious. It's something that can be helpful to others that are out there. When you start utilizing it, watch and see what happens into your number of people that are around you. Watch and see what they do. First, they're going to look at you like you got probably 3 different heads. But then they're going to realize something's different. And why is it different? And I want to know what to do in order to do the same. That's something that takes some time, but it also takes the skill of being observant of what it is that people are doing when they're trying to be in the wise mind. And that's something that, you know, like I said, all the time, we are not going to be able to cover one subject in 1 hour. This is a topic that we could talk about probably for 2 weeks straight. But the thing is that it's important to bring awareness out there of these different skill sets that can make a difference in our life, because that's what the mindset is all about. It's all about utilizing your own mindset, which is yours. You have one, period. You don't have to go out and buy it even. You already have it. Now, it can be your very best ally instead of your own personal enemy. And that's really what the show is all about. Now, Claudia, we have a very special show that we're going to be doing next week. We're going to be talking to a good friend of ours. His name is Walter, of the website healing.ly, Healing Lee. And he's going to be joining us as a special guest next week. And that's going to be kind of fun in order to be able to do something different.
I completely agree. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I really think so. So definitely, you know, make sure to be with us next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time, because we're going to have a good time talking to Walter, our good friend. He knows a lot about what it is that we talk about, and we think that it would be a great addition to be able to have him as a special guest here on The Mindset. But for now, we want to say thank you for listening, and I am Shane Schultz, and she is
Claudia Israel.
Claudia Israel, my good friend and our expert of the mindset. Folks, we want to say thank you, and you have a great night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.